The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What a lineup we have for you Saturday and Monday. UFC 267 from Fight Island in Abu Dhabi is on ESPN Plus and features two title fights. Our Saturday night football game on ABC has number 20 Penn State taking on number 5 Ohio State. And our Monday night football matchup is Giants Chiefs. That's on ESPN. Peyton and Eli Manning on ESPN 2. Everything you see there is also available on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And it is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. He's got to try and beat the unbeaten Cardinals tonight without two of his most important weapons. Does he have a chance? We'll talk about that. The Cowboys still don't know whether they'll have Dak Prescott Sunday. We'll tell you why they should be very careful about their decision. And he was dreadful in game one, so how did Jose Altuve redeem himself last night when the Astros needed it most? You'll see in moments. Hour two of Get Up starts right now. And it starts with the game of the night, game two of the World Series between Atlanta and Houston. We are in the top of the second with the Astros up 1-0. Jose Urquidy pitching to Travis d'Arnaud, and it is no longer 1-0. It is 1-1. Travis d'Arnaud with a solo home run to left field to tie the game. Bottom of the second with one out, runners on the corners. Jose Siri with a dribbler to second base. He is going to beat the throw, and Kyle Tucker scores. Astros up 2-1. They were not done scoring in that inning. Next batter, Martin Maldonado. Singles to left field, one run comes around to score. Eddie Rosario collects the ball and left, throws it to third base. Only problem is nobody's there. So Siri's gonna come home, and the throw to the plate is not going to be in time to get him. Astros up 4-1. Two batters later, they're still at it. Michael Brantley is up. He's gonna rip a single into right field. That will score Maldonado, and the Astros extend their lead 5-1, which would be plenty for Urquidy, who settled in after that home run to Travis d'Arnaud. He finished with five innings pitched, six hits, two earned runs, and seven strikeouts, a postseason high. And then just for the cherry on top of the sundae, bottom of the seventh, Jose Altuve leading off, a solo home run to left off Drew Smyly. It's Altuve's 22nd career postseason home run. It's tied for second all-time with Bernie Williams behind only Manny Ramirez. Astros win, series tied. It was the seventh time this postseason that the Astros have won by five or more runs. That ties the 2007 World Series champion Red Sox for the most such wins ever in a single postseason. Series moves back to Atlanta for game three on Friday night. Luis Garcia will get the start for the Astros. The Braves will go with Ian Anderson. That is Friday night. Tonight is Thursday, and week eight starts for the NFL with a big one between the Packers and the Cardinals. Arizona is the only team in the NFL that's still perfect. With a win tonight, they would be 8-0 for the first time in franchise history. But they're not going to be at full strength. Edge rusher J.J. Watt, their all-pro, will undergo what is likely to be season-ending shoulder surgery. That according to our Adam Schefter. The visiting Packers are dealing with COVID problems as wide receivers Davante Adams and Alan Lazard, both expected to miss this game after being placed on the COVID-19 reserve list. So everybody's banged up, as often seems to be the case on a Thursday night, but that doesn't mean this game is any less important. We mentioned the Cardinals are 7-0. The Packers are 6-1. This NFC is very, very top heavy. So I'm wondering, Lewis, does tonight's winner become the favorite to win the conference?
Look, I think for sure that you have to consider it, especially if Green Bay were to win this game, considering what they're missing on the offensive side at wide receiver and Devontae and Alan Lazard. I mean, that would send a hell of a message to the rest of the NFC that, look, when we're at full strength, you know what we're all about. Tonight, we're going on the road, and we win you know, against the Arizona Cardinals that, although, look, missing J.J. Watt is a huge deal, but they are relatively healthy, and they have got some other players that can really fill in for them on the defensive side of the football and pick up some of the slack. I mean, that would be a huge message for Green Bay. And then after that, I mean, look, they have to take on the Kansas City Chiefs, who we're going to have on Monday night, and we'll see whether or not Kansas City can kind of resurrect some of the magic that they've had in years past. So that'll be another great test for Green Bay. But you're right. Look, this would be a huge feather in their cap if they could win this game. And for Arizona, I think if you're a Cardinals player, if you're a Cardinals management, if you're a Cardinals fan, you have to expect now for them to win this football game, especially considering how they have started and really now going all the way back to the preseason, how they thought this season was going to go. This, I don't know if they expected to be undefeated, Dan, at this point. But talking to them in the preseason when we did one of their games, they fully expected this football team to be in contention early and late, that they weren't going to fold at the end of the season, that they were going to rise to the occasion. And that's where I think J.J. Watt's absence could be felt the most. He was targeted specifically by general manager Steve Keim, along with a guy like A.J. Green, to really be able to take hold of this young roster later on in the season and not allow them to get complacent, which is something that Kyler Murray talked about to us. He said, look, as the season went on last year, we started feeling ourselves a little bit. We started feeling a little bit too confident and too cocky, and these veterans were supposed to make sure they kept this young team on the straight and narrow. So that's what I'm watching for sure, to see who else steps up to kind of assume that leadership role. Because from a personnel standpoint, look, they can match up with any team in the NFL without a doubt, with ease.
It has looked good for Arizona so far this year. We saw that graphic with the schedule. Packers only favored by FPI to win one of their next five games. So this is a pretty big deal. What would a win for the Packers mean tonight?
Oh, I mean, listen, it would be huge. I mean, think about it. Your top two receivers, you know, Lazard and Devontae Adams, you know, those guys out. To go and beat, you know, if you go out there and beat an Arizona Cardinals team that's pretty doggone loaded and playing some really good football on both sides of the ball, that's a statement type of game that you send into the rest of the NFC that's saying, you know what? Yeah, we're down people. Everyone's down people. But at the end of the day, no one wants to hear any excuses. Can you still go out there and perform? And when you have number 12 out there, Aaron Rodgers, again, I keep saying it, when you have him, you're in every game, and you go out there and you're able to beat Arizona, man, that's sending a statement to the rest of the NFC if they're able to pull it off.
I mean, it's sending a statement, but let's be honest. The best team in the NFC is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the most complete team, the team with the most diversity. And, oh, by the way, they have a guy that's equal or greater than Aaron Rodgers. So I think this is a game really for the Cardinals to try and develop some type of – they need to develop some type of confidence knowing that they can win a big game. Even though they understand that they don't – that the Packers aren't full – if you know you can win a big game in a big moment, you know, a main event, so to speak, you talk about Thursday Night Football, you know, it builds confidence when you get in those other big games that these young guys can have a slow heartbeat and not overreact and try and do too many things to come outside of itself in big moments.
Green Bay and Arizona both in first place. You mentioned Tampa Bay. They're in first place. The other NFC team that's in first place is the Dallas Cowboys. And the big question they face this week is whether quarterback Dak Prescott will play in this game against the Vikings. Pulled a calf muscle on the final play of the game against the Patriots. They had a bye week last week, so he's had some rest. He was back at practice yesterday. Here's what Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy had to say about the situation.
He's going to practice. He's going to go through the individual part of it. He's in the game plans. I mean, he's preparing to play. He's got to cross the threshold to make sure he's full go. We don't want this to be a week-to-week situation, so until he clears that threshold, to try to minimize the risk is really what the decision will come down to.
So we saw last year after Dak got hurt that the Cowboys really couldn't do anything on offense. Is this year's Cowboy team in better shape if he does have to miss a game?
Well, I think they are, because you got to think about, you know, all the other pieces that the Dallas Cowboys lost last year. It was that great offensive line. This offensive line has really gotten back together, especially since Martin's come back running the football. You know, the 1-2 punch at running back, they have an array of weapons on the outside. You can sustain it. This would be a great test because, listen, they play in the damn near the football equivalent of the MAC conference, right? They don't play anybody, man. They're going to run away with this thing. It's not even going to be close. Why would you jeopardize Dak Prescott and his ability to be the leader in the team when the season gets late? We all knew this season was going to be about a battle of attrition. You know, sometimes you need to have some of these good tests to allow some other people to step up into more of a leadership role. I think you rest Dak, and you allow, you know, the rest of the team to win one for him.
D. Wood, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Listen, if Dak is, you know, when you talk some certain injuries can lead to bigger things if you go out there too early. And I know with Dak Prescott, big part of his game is not only, you know, being surgical within the pocket, but outside of the pocket. And if you go out there before you're ready, man, you're talking about weeks instead of maybe 1 week. And I think Bart brings up a good point. The way the Dallas Cowboys are built, number one, the offensive line is healthy. Okay, that's always been the key with the Dallas Cowboys. When the offensive line is right, guess what? Everything else is moving in the right direction. They got the guys in the backfield. They got weapons on the outside. The defense is coming together. So listen, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Okay, if your quarterback's not right, give him a week to make sure he gets back to 100% so you can continue on that path. Now, listen, we're not even talking about the NFC East right now. It's beyond the NFC East.
Exactly.
It's more about trying to get that number one seed, the bye.
And remember what happened to you when you fought through a tough calf.
Yeah, I had a calf, and then the next thing you know, it turned into Achilles tear. Ooh. So these things can happen.
Absolutely. Lewis, is this a smart approach that they're taking with Dak?
Yeah, look, I trust their medical staff because they have nailed it with Dak Prescott in particular all along his career, all during his career, starting with his injury that he suffered last year that caused him to miss, you know, three quarters of the season. And then this past training camp when he had, you know, the issue with his throwing arm. But they have been right on the money. And this is why you spare no expense when you're investing in that aspect of your organization and of your football program. You spare no expense when it comes to medical care and when it comes to the athletic training staff. So if they feel as though Dak cannot cross those thresholds that Mike McCarthy is talking about, then sit him down. This is as multiple an offense as there is in the NFL in terms of being able to beat you with the run, beat you with the pass. You know, both Woody and Bart have talked about the fact that their offensive line is healthy, that they have two great running backs in Zeke and Pollard, that the short passing game, let's just say that Cooper Rush did have to play, all right, if he did have to put it out there, of course they're not going to let him do all the things that Dak can do, but he would be able to do enough to where you could then lean on the strength of the rest of this roster to go ahead and still be competitive and possibly pull out the win against Minnesota. So, yeah, if it's deemed that the risk is greater than the reward, then sit him down. But trust your medical staff. That's why you build your program the way you do and let everybody do their job, because you don't want to make the wrong decision about this and have it turn into something else as it did with Damian Woody.
Yeah, I mean, and D-Wood, look, I mean, you mentioned it. Like, the NFC East is seemingly on ice. They're up 3.5 games. They've got a favorable schedule ahead. So I guess when you look at it, I mean, what would it look like if they did have to play without him for this game or even a couple?
Well, listen, I mean, first of all, you know, you got two dynamic backs in the backfield. And, again, I start with the offensive line. When you have an offensive line like the Dallas Cowboys have, it makes everything a lot easier. They can still be multiple. They can still do a lot of things. Are they going to be missing the playmaking ability of Dak? Yes, they will. There's no question about that. But you can play complementary football when you got, you know, Pro Bowlers up front that make things happen for everybody else. So, again, this is not, you don't want to put Dak in harm's way and possibly lose him more than you should have. Like Lewis talked about, the medical staff in Dallas has been tremendous, going back to the lower leg injury from last year to the shoulder injury that was documented on Hard Knocks. Yeah. So, you know, you just got to put trust in the medical staff and make sure that this is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
So we'll wait and see as the week goes along whether Dallas will have its quarterback for Sunday. Coming up, we will talk about whether the Cleveland Browns will have their quarterback for Sunday. Baker Mayfield says he can play against the Steelers. Does that mean he's feeling better or feeling the heat? We'll answer that. And Tom Brady, heard of him, is on pace to set the single season touchdown passing record. But will he hit a snag Sunday against the Saints? We'll tell you next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, let's play a game of more or less. Lewis, Tom Brady, if I said 3.5 touchdowns on Sunday against the Saints, are you taking more or less?
I'm going less. You know, and you know why? I think this Saints defense is legit. And I think we saw him last week against Seattle, and I understand it was Seattle and it was Geno Smith, and it really wasn't the kind of offense that they're going to face against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But these guys have got some ballers, man, and I can just tell you this. Look, DeMario Davis, maybe my favorite defensive player in the NFL. They will give Tampa Bay and Tom Brady all they can handle, so I'm going less.
It really should be fewer, but the producers don't listen to me on this, so we keep it with more or less. D. Wood, Justin Herbert, 2.5 touchdowns against the Patriots. More or fewer?
Oh, Graz, man, this one was hurting me, but I'm going to go more with this one. I mean, the one thing you see from the Patriots, their secondary is usually their strength. They have sustained some injuries in that secondary. And I think with the way that the Los Angeles Chargers got beat up by the Baltimore Ravens out there, I think those guys are going to come back with a vengeance. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, I think we'll have a big day.
Should be a big one for the Chargers off their bye. Bart Scott, Browns get 2.5 sacks on Big Ben. You got more or fewer?
Have you seen Big Ben's offensive line?
I have.
You see that in front of everybody? Of course. You talk about Myles Garrett and what he's able to do. This is going to be a highly emotional game. As you know, I think on the other side, Pittsburgh's going to be aiming for their quarterback. So, you know, Myles Garrett and company's going to try and return the favor. Of course, at this point in Ben's career, he's a deer in headlights on the field. But it's okay because every once in a while he blinks.
A lot of attention being paid to the other quarterback. Browns coming off of a little mini bye. I don't know. Baker doesn't blink. Ben blinks.
Yeah, I mean, he blinks and he actually moves, and then he stuck his head.
Right. Blink and then stand there? Is that the problem?
Lewis feels me understand what I'm talking about.
The other quarterback's Baker Mayfield. The Browns have a little extra rest this week coming off the Thursday game. They still don't know if they're going to have Baker. He's got that shoulder problem. Here's Baker talking about it after practice yesterday.
Is playing Sunday a possibility? I know you said you're going to see how it goes. But
absolutely.
Did the time off help you some?
It definitely did. A noticeable difference in range of motion and strength. So trying to get the strength back and be able to go as close to 100% as possible. And if that's not the case, then, you know, we trust the guys we have out there.
So we saw the Browns win Thursday night without Baker, Case Keenum playing, and they had all backups at running back and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we know they can do it, but this is a pretty important game. Like, do you have to play Baker to try and win this game?
I don't think you have to. I think you have just as good a chance with Case Keenum because he's healthy, right? You don't worry about him going down. The worst case scenario is Baker comes in, offensive line gets used to his depth, his five-step drop, his cadence, his rhythm, and then Baker goes out, and then now you have to put Case Keenum in, and now you have to try and tinker the game plan just slightly. I understand they're similar players. But I think you go with the healthy guy, the guy that can really, you know, account for itself. We already know that Baker, it has come out, you know, that it came out of place, you know, even when he was standing there from non-contact. What do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to do? Like, when the fact that they were rubbing their towels and they were, you know, talking, man, they talk cash money stuff, man. In this division, man, that is bulletin board material. I guarantee you it's a highlight tape of how they was disrespecting the towel. It's crazy how crazy somebody can get over disrespecting something that's
silly as a tile.
Right.
But people have died for less in Pittsburgh, I'm telling you.
Jeez. It's certainly, the stakes certainly aren't that high in this game, but
football death, man.
Right,
you know,
I'm going to make sure the audience knows we're talking about a sports show here. We're not getting to the to issues of life and death. D-Wood, you agree? On the Baker versus Keenan thing, not the death.
Not the death thing, but yeah, on the Baker. I agree, man. I think the one thing about Case Keenum is this is a guy that's been in this offense for a while, going back to Minnesota, you know, when the head coach and Case Keenum were together in Minnesota. So he knows the offense. He's healthy. That's the biggest thing here. He's 100% healthy. We saw what happened last week when the Cleveland Browns played. He played complimentary football. He didn't do anything to screw it up. He allowed his playmakers to go out there and make plays. The defense stepped up, and he made timely throws when he needed to do it. He ran the ball when he needed to run.
First down.
That's what you need to do in this league at the end of the day. Why would you subject Baker Mayfield, who's 70% shoulder just slipping out, walking down the street, and you gonna like Bart said, and you gonna put him against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Hell no.
But you know what? This is about Baker, man. He's hearing exactly what everybody else is saying. Like, hey, well, maybe, you know, Case Keenum, they're better off. Maybe he can have a better connection with Odell, and Odell can, you know, stretch the field a little bit because of his connection with Case Keenum. He hears all that, and he understands that this is a contract. He's trying to get some money, and the better Case Keenum plays, the more money comes out of his pocket.
Worth mentioning, though, that last week was the first time he's ever missed a game due to injury. So it could just be a guy that really wants to play. Lewis, the loser of this game risks falling significantly behind this is Lewis's turn. Significantly behind the Baltimore-Cincinnati tie atop the division. How big a deal is this game?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, they need to win it to keep pace, man. They need to win it to stay in it. And I think, even more so than just talking about the game and whether or not they can win with Case as opposed to Baker, and is Case really not that much worse off, that much worse than Baker, I think you have to go back, like, during the week now, like, who's taking the number one rep? If Baker's taking the number one reps during practice, and then they wind up not playing them, and then Case has to go in there, like, how does that help the football team? I think for sure right now, whoever is practicing better be the one who starts the game, because Case would be much better served if he could actually, coming off of last week, getting more number one reps this week with an improved offense with Nick Chubb coming back and D'Ernest Johnson being the 1-2 punch. So I think they just need to make sure that they handle this very definitively, that this doesn't become a day-to-day thing, that it's not one of those things where the Cleveland local reporters are asking Baker every day, well, do you think you can play? And he's going, yeah, I think I can. Well, yeah, you know, we'll see. Well, yeah, because, you know, you just don't want that uncertainty in terms of which quarterback is really preparing to play the football game. And, look, I'm with both of the guys there on the set. I think they can afford to go ahead and continue to play Case Keenum and rely on the strength of the rest of this football team and see if they can go ahead and pull out a win against the Pittsburgh Steelers and then go from there. Baker, without a doubt, is hearing us talk. You know that the people in his inner circle are saying, hey, look, this is a big year for you, despite the fact that they picked up your fifth-year option. You want that long-term contract. This is a very complicated type of issue underneath the surface.
A lot to figure out before Sunday and a lot to figure out beyond Sunday on the Baker Mayfield issue. With the Browns. Chiefs know who they're using at quarterback this week. It is Patrick Mahomes, and he knows that things haven't been great so far in Kansas City. But he's got some reassuring words for Chiefs fans. We'll talk about whether he's right to be optimistic. And we come back. It's time for Sneaky Graziano. I am going to ask Hembo a question today. Who was the last team to win the World Series after losing the first game at home like the Houston Astros just did? Does Hembo know? He's got the wrong ball.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I just want to let the world know I'm ready to go.
We're taking it out
right now.
The victims roll on through. You want some more? Just roll on through. Come get some more. I'm not scared of Tim Tebow. I'm not scared of Michael Irvin or Keyshawn.
Something must be wrong.
You were wrong.
What?
You were wrong.
What?
Come on.
I'm taking Dak Prescott. Oh, my God. Stephen A.
Wearing a crimson tie.
Oh, Stephen A. What?
You done lost your mind. You hear me with your mouth and not
with his ear. Listen with his ear.
I think you're getting nervous.
Roll on through. You want some more. Just roll on through. Come get some more.
We're taking the house. An accident
coming. I see it coming. All y'all have started something.
All right, Hembo has traded his football for a baseball bat, which means he's in the exact right frame of mind to get this question right. Who was the last team to win the World Series after losing Game 1 at home?
I don't know for sure. I'm going to have to guess. I'm going to say that in 2009, my Phillies beat the Yankees in Game 1. The Yankees won that series in 6. That is my guess.
You hit it out of the park, my friend. It is the 2009 Yankees. Outstanding work and outstanding recovery from Hembo, who was expecting a football question, but nails the baseball one. Our next stop, we are going to go to Kansas City, where the Chiefs are amazingly 3-4. Patrick Mahomes leads an offense that has turned the ball over 17 times already this season. That is 5 more than any other team in the NFL. Mahomes recently spoke with our Jeff Darlington about how to get things right.
I'm just wondering what you think needs to happen for you guys to right this ship right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a steady process of just getting better every single day. We obviously have had so much success these last few years that I don't want to say it's came easy, but we've been able to go out there and do what we wanted to do and win football games. Well, this year, obviously, it hasn't been the same. Obviously, it looks bad right now. Everybody's looking down on us like the season's a throwaway, but there's still a lot of season left. If we continue to grow together, become a team, become the Kansas City Chiefs that everybody knows and loves, I think we can still go out and get it whatever we want to get.
Well, of course, he thinks that, and it may be that he's correct. I mean, they have 10 games left, but D. Wood, what do you think? Are the Chiefs in big trouble?
They are in trouble. They're in trouble. I know everyone talks about the offense and, you know, this, you know, how they can, you know, move the ball up and down the field and they can score. But listen, at the end of the day, the game of football is very simple, okay? Turnovers will beat you. If you can't stop anyone, it will beat you. And as much as we laud about the, you know, the big three in Kansas City, the facts are they turn the ball over way too much, and their defense can't stop a nosebleed. Mm. Couple that with, look what's going on in their division. The Las Vegas Raiders playing good football.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Chargers playing good football. There are other teams in the AFC that are playing good football. We just can't get caught up in what the Chiefs have done in the past. What are they now?
Right
now, they are a turnover machine that can't stop anyone on defense. Those are the facts.
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem. Lewis, when you look at this Chiefs team, a lot seems to be falling on Mahomes' shoulders because that defense has done such a poor job so far. Is there something he can do better to help overcome those problems on the other side of the ball?
Sure. Look, I mean, it's correctable. The turnovers are correctable. It's about the decision-making process and understanding that the more risky decisions that I make, the riskier decisions that I make as the quarterback, the more I put our team in harm's way, and the more I give our team, the less I give our team a chance to overcome what is a porous defense. Like, even if right now they, you know, continue to remain patient and try to drive the football down the field and death by a thousand cuts, I believe, as Bart has alluded to in the past, you know, that is okay because it's the smart way to go. It's a smart way to go against teams in terms of how they're trying to defend the Kansas City Chiefs, which is make them earn it the hard way. That's okay. just don't give it, just don't lose your patience, make a bad decision and turn it over to the point where now you put your defense in a poor situation, because that is something that they can't overcome. Patrick has it within himself to go ahead and be better with the football. He has shown already during his career that he can make those kind of decisions. What I'm most concerned about is about the defense, honestly. It really is. Because I just don't know if they're good enough. No matter how well they are coached, I don't know if they're good enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question right now. And they've been able to get it right in previous years and even win the Super Bowl, make it to the Super Bowl. So right now, are they a playoff team?
No, not right now. I think they'll be in the hunt. I think they'll be in the hunt for the final wild card, because I think that, listen, the other two teams, the Raiders and the Chargers, aren't afraid of them anymore in their division. They're not the big bad wolf. You don't have, you know, those sleepless nights. You think, okay, the offensive, we can get whatever we want, so we can keep that opposing offense on the field and put pressure on Mahomes, that every time he gets the ball, he has to score, right? So that's why you see him running. I don't think he trusts his offensive line. This offensive line is not as good as it was before. You know, I know that, you know, it takes a lot of continuity, a lot of time with each other, the nonverbal communication, like Damon Woody always talks about, that linemen have. It doesn't seem like he trusts him, because he bails way too easy sometimes and goes to the perimeter and try to make these off-schedule plays. Listen, the Chiefs have faced two high safeties 100 more times than the next closest team in the Baltimore Ravens. That's because they don't respect the fact that they think that they have the patience, or they don't think they have the running game to make you pay with a light box.
Mahomes has talked about needing to be more patient with the stuff that defenses are giving him, but it hasn't held up week to week. We'll see. Chiefs obviously need a win Monday night against the Giants. But let's go on the clock now and talk about some other teams. I want to start with you, Damian Woody. Which team do you think needs a win the most this week?
Man, that's a tough one. And that's a tough one. Panthers. I'm going with the Panthers. I think you look at what everyone, they started out 3-0. Everybody was ready to anoint the Panthers and Sam Darnold. And what's happened? They've lost four straight. Okay? Benched the quarterback last game. The NFC South is Tampa Bay is running away with the NFC South right now. So if you're the Panthers, you need a win in the worst way to at least keep up with the wild card situation that's going on. And on that side of the conference.
Sam Darnold had a rough one getting benched against the Giants last week. See if he can recover. Bart Scott, which matchup are you most looking forward to this weekend?
I want to see how hungry Jameis Winston and the Saints are to go against Tampa Bay in terrific time. You talk about last year, the Saints had the recipe to slow down this offense. Remember last year, they destroyed Tom Brady, you know, two times. And it wasn't even close. And let's see what this defense is able to continue to do. I understand Jameis Winston on the other side is compromised. No Michael Thomas, not a lot of explosive players. But this defense just flat gets after it right now. You can't run against it, which makes you one-dimensional. Let's see if Tom Brady can get a little bit of revenge.
See if the Saints can fight their way into the playoff race and make some noise in that tough NFC. Lewis Riddick, give me one team you think could surprise us this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if people really still are believing that the Patriots are a playoff type of team. And they've got a tough matchup, obviously, against the L.A. Chargers on the road. And this could be one of those games where they surprise you as far as just how prolific and how explosive maybe this offense can be under Mac Jones. I think there are many people who believe that Bill is not allowing Mac to really open up this offense and really put it on his shoulders and trust him to make the big plays down the field throwing the football. I beg to differ. I think this is one of these games where you could wind up seeing him go against a poor LA Chargers defense and really burst onto the scene here and make a statement.
We'll see. Patriots, three wins so far this year. Two have come against the Jets. They're still looking to take that next step. Our Saturday night football matchup presented by Capital One. It's a Big Ten battle. Number 20, Penn State, takes on number 5, Ohio State at the Shoe. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Coming up, with an extra game and not much divisional competition, should the Cowboys just sit Dak Prescott this week? Why that answer could open Pandora's box.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Now let's talk about the Cowboys. Big question this week is whether quarterback Dak Prescott's going to play Sunday night against the Vikings. He injured a calf in the last play of the game against the Patriots a couple weeks ago. Then they had the bye. Now they're back at practice, and this is his head coach.
He's going to practice. He's going to go through the individual part of it. He's in the game plans. I mean, he's preparing to play. He's got to cross the threshold to make sure he's full go. We don't want this to be a week-to-week situation, so until he clears that threshold, to try to minimize the risk is really what the decision will come down to.
So our football crew back with us and NBA analyst Tim Legler joining us. Because, Tim, we wanted to ask you this concept of load management that we've seen in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's been some people have wondered with the NFL going to an extra game this season if we start to see anything like that. From your standpoint, when you see it going on in the NBA, what feels different to you about when you were playing?
Well, listen, first of all, it was never even a discussion. I can't think of one time in my entire career where a discussion took place with a coaching staff or front office and a player about not playing if you were not only healthy, if you could physically go out there. Mm-hmm. Like, nowadays, guys won't play again unless they're going to be 100% productive, right? What they're used to. Like, my era was just different. If you could give them 70%, you gave them 70%, if that's what you have. But the discussion of playing, if not playing, if you were physically able, I never heard that discussion take place one time. So it's tough, man. It's 20 years ago I stopped playing, and it is hard for guys of my era to understand the concept of it. I just don't think there's enough data to even prove that it actually is effective in extending careers or making you better in the postseason, which is what it's all about. And I don't think there's enough data to prove that.
Yep. But it is sort of where we are, though. I think athletes are more conscious of protecting their long-term health.
Yeah, it's softer.
That's your word.
It doesn't mean longer career, right?
All right.
We used to hear phrases like put some dirt on it, you know, give them some Robitussin, give them some milk, something like that. Like, these guys are softer, so they don't build up that callus like they used to. I mean, the joke, watching baseball is a joke, man. Guy go out there, give you four innings. I mean, come on, man. Like, you got to do something, right? I mean, you know, Damon Woody had a long career. I mean, I went 11 years without missing a game or a practice. But what happens is these guys don't build up enough callus, so they're not used to go that distance. So when they go to that distance, their bodies can't respond and they break down.
Interesting. I mean, I think that's – you're using
3 days
as
in college,
example.
Man.
You're using him as an example. But, I mean, you know, you guys are – kind of outliers in some respect in terms of how long your careers were. And, Lewis, I mean, overall, this is about trying to make sure everybody can play as long as possible, is it not?
Sure, I guess it is at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, you know, the best ability is availability. We all know that. And every team is trying to make sure that they can get their players to the finish line and on into the postseason, which is obviously where everyone is judged. But I think there's other ways to manage players other than to sit them out games. I mean, players are being managed in the off season and during practice weeks in a way that, again, I don't want to be the guy who, you know, who comes in as the old curmudgeon. But look, that guys just weren't managed that way before. People practiced in the 90s. People played games when they were hurt in the 90s. Now, injured, that's a whole different thing. But people play, you know, if they were able to, you know, as Tim was talking about, if people were able to go, they went. And I am a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer in the fact that football is one of those games that you have to practice in order to get better at, that you have to play in order to get better at. And with the way that the new playoff format is and there only being one number one seed, I don't know if teams are going to be really buying into the whole load management thing when they're fighting for that one bye. That one opportunity to have a week off before stuff really hits the fan. And again, like I said, teams practice less, hit less, spend less time at the facility than they ever have. Ever. Yeah. I don't know what else you can do in a game that really is dependent upon you practicing and being available and being out there on the field. I don't know how else you can limit it.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about being the old, you know, back in my day curmudgeon, because it seems like the table's loaded with them. So everybody kind of making
that's true.
A point.
That's true.
But, I mean, D. Wood, like, this isn't really something they can do in football. You only have 17 games as opposed to 82, right? I mean, you can't load manage by taking a quarterback off the field for a game, right?
No, because the first game is just as important as the 17th game. You know, that's the way it is. You only get one a week. That's it. One a week. And I think what Lou has touched upon is true. You know, I just use myself as an example. You know, late the latter part of my career, you know, the coaches manage you, you know, during the week. Okay, Wednesday, you don't practice.
Yeah.
You know, go lift. Thursday, you come back and practice. Friday was like perfect. It's perfect Friday, so you go out and practice. But making sure that you're your best self going into the game. Because in my mindset, I'm going to play. There's nothing worse as a player than you sitting out knowing that even if you're not at optimal, you know, your best, that you're not out there with your boys.
Right.
You know, there's nothing when you feel isolated. So for me, I don't want to sound like, like I'm old school, but I just felt like when you're injured or when you're not playing with your guys, you feel isolated from everybody. You want to be out there playing and helping your team out.
And football is one of those sports where you're always injured, so you have to learn how to play compromise. You have to know how to compensate. And you only do that by playing with injuries to know how, okay, well, my wrist messed up. I got to tape it this way. That's how I got to play. You know, we've seen teams load manage before. I remember when we went to the playoffs, we were going against Peyton Manning, they rested the team, and then they got into a bad rhythm because football is all about continuity, nonverbal communication, and chemistry, and you lose that when you plug in other players.
From a big-picture standpoint, the quality of the product the NBA regular season, not what it used to be,
right? So you took the words out of my mouth. That was going to be my next point. So everything with the NBA now revolves around preservation of the athlete, preservation of your legs. So as a result, you get the marquee matchups. When that schedule comes out, go ahead and circle them. And we went through this last year, I think, to a greater extent than we ever have in the NBA. And as a fan, when you sit down to tune into that game or you buy tickets to the game, even worse, and you're laying out that kind of cash to go down because you want to see a specific player on a given night, last season, you had no idea what you were about to watch. How many of the top five guys in between the two teams were going to be suited up and how many weren't? And as a result, it's a different product. You know, I make this point all the time. You guys might disagree, but for me as a football fan, I feel like if you take a quarterback off the field, I do kind of feel like you're still watching the same product. If you take a star player off an NBA court, and if you take multiple stars off the court in a given night, you aren't even watching really the same product. Because the effect that those guys have on the game, because of the way they control possessions and their dominance, you take them off the floor, you just don't even feel like you're watching NBA at the same level, and that really does hurt the product. It hurts the ratings. It's reflected. There's no way around it.
Yeah, you may be right, but I think if you have 8 home games and you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you're a fan, you're only going to one, and it's the one Tom Brady's not playing for load management, you're not going to be thrilled about it either way. So that was fun. This is fun, too. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, we have Hall of Fame pass rusher Bruce Smith drawing some inspiration from Myles Garrett with some Halloween decorations of his own.
Myles, I was inspired by your graveyard, but here's what a real graveyard looks like. To you and all my fellow pass rushers, keep hunting.
Yeah, does he have the huge skeleton, though? The
home I want to know,
because that thing is the star of the show in any Halloween decoration. So, yeah, that was me triumphantly after having assembled that thing on my front lawn last week. Tim Legler, you're a Halloween guy.
We need Jay Billis. We need Jay Billis right now because I want to know what the wingspan is on that.
Yeah,
what's the reach on that?
It's a 12-foot-high skeleton, so I assume the wingspan's about that.
My good, I am. I'm envious, man. I'm envious. Yeah. You know I go all in on Halloween. That's impressive.
For Halloween. So, coming up on First Take, J.J. Watt is hurt. So is Davante Adams. Which injury will have the bigger impact as the Packers face the undefeated Cardinals tonight? Hear from Stephen A., Dan Orlovsky, our man Davian Woody. First Take following Get Up at the top of the hour. But we have more show coming your way.